John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we will finish up what I had intended to get through this morning. I wanted to get through that whole passage, and we didn't. So we'll finish that tonight. And then what I was going to preach tonight, I'll preach on Sunday morning, Lord willing. Good chance that I'll be wrong on that. I thought I was going to be preaching it tonight, and I'm not. In John chapter 3, we were looking at the approach of Nicodemus, how Nicodemus came by night, and probably because he was well known and he was worried about what people thought. And then no coincidence that Jesus pointed out what he did in verses 19 through 21. And in Matthew 10, Jesus tells us that if we confess him before man, then he'll confess us before God, before his Father. And that if we don't confess him before man, then he won't confess us. Jesus, the main thing we looked at this morning was this, that Jesus gets right to the point, that he doesn't debate and he doesn't squabble. And when the Pharisees would come with questions, Jesus would answer it quickly, but he would always get right to their lost condition. No matter what they were talking about, he'd always go right back to their lost condition. And you and I need to learn that we don't get sidetracked on other things. We have to keep in mind what the important things are. We can't get caught up on, other issues and things that aren't important. We need to concentrate on what is important. And so man's greatest need has always been and will always be that of salvation. In verses 4 through 6, we found Jesus giving some explanation when he told Nicodemus he had to be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, well, enter into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said no, and then he went forth and he explained what was meant by that. And that's about where we left off. And so tonight we come to verse 7, and it says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Dear Lord, once more, we just ask that you'd help us tonight with our understanding, and just help us keep our minds on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so some explanation was given here. And then there's a verse here that Jesus says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." When you think about wind, you can't see it, but you can see the effects of it. You can't see the wind coming at you across the field, but you know it's coming because you can see the trees, you can see the crops moving, you can see the dust that's caught up in the wind. But the wind itself, you can't see it, you can see the effects of it. You know, you get a big hard breeze, how do you feel it? And you can see, like I said, sometimes the dust gets caught up in the wind. Well, that's the dust that you're seeing being stirred up by the wind. We don't see the wind. We don't see air. It's an invisible thing. And so what Jesus is saying here is that, notice that he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see, a physical birth is something that we can see. We can see a physical birth. We can't see the spiritual birth. Whenever Christ saves us, it's a spiritual thing that happens on the inside. But in the same way that we can see the effects of the wind, we can see the effects of a spiritual birth. And what are those effects? A changed life. Okay? So we don't, when Christ saves us, it's not something that we see with our eyes. It's faith. It's a spiritual thing, but then we can see the effects of it. We can't see the wind, but I can see those trees bending. I can see the effects of the wind. And so that's what Jesus is saying here, is that, you know, you don't see this birth the way that you see a physical birth, but you can see that it's real because you can see the effects of it. You can't see the wind, but you know it's there because you feel it and you can see what it does and to see the effects that it has. And so then in verse 9, Nicodemus, his question here is, how can these things be? Okay? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You know, that's in a way, that's almost, it's almost sarcasm. Jesus is saying, are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? You know, it's almost a sarcastic remark that he makes. You know why? Because Nicodemus should have known these things. He should have known. He's a master of Israel. He had this reputation. He was a ruler. It tells us there at the very beginning that he was a ruler. He should have known these things. And Jesus is pointing out to him that he ought to know these things. I mean, look what he says. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He's calling Nicodemus to stop and question himself. Nicodemus could stop here and say, why don't I know this? I should know this. Why don't I know this? And Jesus is saying, why don't you know this? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He's using an earthly illustration when he's talking about the wind. Okay, he's using this earthly illustration, and he's talking about being born of the water or physical birth. So he's pointing these things out, and he's using those to relate to the spiritual. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you don't believe, if you don't understand the physical thing, the earthly things, how are you going to understand the spiritual? But you see, what is faith? What does the Bible tell us that faith is? Substance of things hoped for, isn't it? Okay, evidence of things what? Not seen. Okay, that's where you have to have faith. There are things that we can't see, things that we don't know, like the wind. We have to have faith, all right? And so if I tell you, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, you're only going to believe if you trust, if you have faith, okay? Because the problem is if you'll only believe the things that you can see, there are two problems there. You can't see God. You can't see the redemption. You can't see salvation whenever it happens. You see the effects of it. And another problem is your eyes can deceive you. If you're only going to believe what you can see, well, there are a lot of things that you can't see that you need to believe in, and not everything that you see can be believed. Your eyes can deceive you. Your eyes can play tricks on you. You think that you saw something a certain way. Have you ever looked at those pictures? You know, they're kind of like optical illusions. You got to look and look and look before you see what it is. There's one that's pretty famous. Maybe all of you or most of you have seen it. And it's two women, depending upon how you look at it. If you look at it, it's one drawing, and if you look at it one way, it looks like an old woman with a big nose and she's all wrinkled up. But if you look at it another way, it's a very beautiful woman. It's one picture, but it's an optical illusion. And so you give that to somebody and you say, what do you see? And some people can see both, and some people can see the beautiful woman, and some can see the ugly woman. And sometimes some people say, well, I see the ugly one, I can't see the pretty one, or vice versa. And they just look and look and look, and they say, I can't see it, I can't see it, I can't see it. And the other person's saying, I see both of them. Your eyes play tricks on you, don't they? So see, if you're only going to go by what you see, if you're only going to go by appearance, you're setting yourself up for a fall. We have to have faith. And he says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. We said this earlier, this morning, correct belief about Jesus doesn't save. Only a correct response will save. correct. Knowing what the Bible says about Jesus isn't what saves. Okay? And Jesus is telling Nicodemus here, hey, you're going to have to receive what we're saying. You're going to have to receive what we're saying. It's not just knowing what's being said. You're going to have faith in it. You're going to have to trust it. You're going to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. I think probably everybody here knows that that's talking about Jesus on the cross. The serpent on the staff, that was a picture of holding up. You know, as long as they kept their eyes upon that rod, upon that serpent being lifted up, they were okay, weren't they? And then what Jesus say? He said, just in that same way that Moses lifted up that serpent, he said, I'm going to have to be lifted up. Was he lifted up? Yes, he was. He was put upon a cross and lifted up for all men to see. And then he says, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, if you want to believe that salvation can be lost, you're going to have to not only ignore a lot of scripture, you're going to have to change a lot of definitions too. You're going to have to ignore a whole bunch of Bible, and you're going to have to change words around. Because look, whosoever believeth in him, have you done that? Have you believed in him? Should not perish, but have. Are you waiting to get it or do you have it now? You have it. What? Eternal life. You're going to have to change the definition of have, because that's a current possession. If you have it, it's yours right now. You're going to have to change the definition of eternal. Okay? Eternal doesn't stop. If I stopped having eternal life, then it wasn't eternal to start with. Okay? We come to verse 16. Very well-known verse that even a lot of lost people know. But again, it doesn't mean they have believed it. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him, now here's one that they're not so familiar with. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, why do people know 3:16 and not 18? Well, 16 talks about love, and if you believe, you'll have everlasting life. But 18 tells me that if I don't, I'm already condemned. Again, like we said this morning, they like the babe in the manger. They don't like the man on the cross. Okay? Now, for God so loved the world. Let's take a look at this. It's growing up, I looked at this verse in this way, that means God loved the world so much. Not that it would be improper to say that, but what this verse is actually saying, that word so means thus in this manner. So what this is actually telling us, it goes deeper than just God loved the world so much. What this is actually saying is, when it says for God so loved the world, when you take that word so, what it's telling us is this. This is how God loved the world, or this is how He showed His love to the world. You think of that word so as thus in this manner. For God so loved, or in this way, God loved the world. Okay? What was the way that God loved the world? How did God show His love for the world? That He gave His only begotten Son. That was the thing that He did. He gave His only begotten Son. Does it matter? Does it matter what Bible you read? Does it matter what Bible you have on your lap? Does it matter what Bible is on your shelf? Absolutely. John 3:16 and many modern Bibles say, I had somebody try to quote John 3:16 to me, and they quoted it the way that it is in a lot of modern Bibles, and it's absolutely wrong. Here's what a lot of the modern Bibles will say. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Nope. Because when you get saved, what are you? A child of God. Okay? We are adopted. We become His children. God has millions of sons and millions of daughters. Because he has millions and millions of children. Who, I don't know the number. I'm just saying, you know, as long as man's been here, we don't know how many people have been saved. God has a lot of children, doesn't he? Because everyone who's saved, he becomes their father. He adopts them. One and only son, that isn't true. That's not true because God has many children, but he only has one begotten son, and that's Jesus Christ. And begotten means virgin born. Okay? Because if he was begotten of Joseph, then he's not God's son. But if he's begotten of God, then he is God in the flesh. So it does absolutely matter what Bible version you have. It does matter that the words are correct. Not one and only son, begotten makes him deity. When you remove begotten to one and only son, you rob him of his deity. Why would you rob Jesus Christ of his deity? Why would they change? That's not hard to understand. Why would you change only begotten son to one and only son? I have told you before, I know in Sunday school we talked about this a little bit, and I've probably mentioned it here in the regular services, but many modern versions of the Bible are influenced by two men, Westcott and Hort, and Westcott and Hort had a lot of input on the translation of the Greek text that these, not that our Bible, the King James Bible, it comes from the Textus Receptus, but they put together what they called the critical text, and that translation of theirs, their translation of the New Testament, is what most of your modern versions are taken from. Just nearly all of them are taken from Westcott and Hort's, what they call Westcott and Hort's critical text. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Westcott and Hort, you can read their own journals, you can read their own writings. They denied the deity of Jesus Christ. When they were working on translating this New Testament of theirs, they were talking about in their letters to each other and to other people, and you can see that as time went on, more and more, they grew in their disbelief in the deity of Jesus Christ. They were heavily influenced by a woman named Helena Blavatsky, and she was one of the ones who pushed and taught that Lucifer was actually the Savior, that he was actually the Messiah. Okay, they were heavily influenced by her, and she denied the deity of Jesus Christ. That's why you have modern Bibles that take out begotten. That's why when you look at verses and sometimes you say, why would they change that? There's a reason. Okay, that's not just random things they're throwing out. There is a reason. But how did he love us? Well, he gave his only begotten son. I don't know of any greater way to show your love. I have three sons. I have three sons. And I love all of you in here. But don't ask me to give one of my boys. Now, before anybody says, oh, Pastor, that's so terrible, if you're a parent, you stop and ask yourself the same thing. How easily could you give one of your children, to die in the place of somebody else, especially a bunch of people who weren't even going to care? People who and you know, look, I know how I couldn't do it, and I have three sons, okay? I have three sons, and I couldn't do it. Those of you, some of you only have one son. Some of you, that you don't have any daughters either, just one child, okay? God the Father does not have many begotten sons. He has many sons in us, but he only has one begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and he gave him for us. And so that's how he showed his love to us. Faith in Christ is the only answer that we can have whenever we're face to face with the gospel. That's the only thing that's going to do. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know why he didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world? He didn't have to. We were already condemned. He didn't have to come in and condemn. That was done. We were already condemned. Now, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That sentence has been erased. It has been removed. Romans, let's see what it is. Romans 8, isn't it? Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Zero. None. It's gone. That's another blue verse in the Bible. All right. Sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But you and I, when we try to tell people this, we're those mean, hateful Christians, aren't we? Mean, hateful. We're just trying to tell you that Jesus showed his love by giving his life for you, that the Father showed his love by giving the Son for you, and you can be forgiven of your sin and have eternity in heaven, but we are the hateful ones. You know, that's just one more thing that lets me know Christianity is the truth. That's just one more thing that lets me know the Bible is true, is how it is so rejected. When you look at what man will accept and then look at what they'll reject. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's why Christ didn't have to come to condemn us. That was already done, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's something else that we need to look at. And I know this is not anything new, but remember, your individual sins aren't what send you to hell. Christ has died for that. He's died for the sin of the world. The reason you go to hell is you don't believe in the sacrifice that's been made. You don't believe in Jesus Christ. The reason that you go to hell is not because of the individual sins that you commit. It's because we're born sinners, and then Christ died for our sin, and if you don't have that payment put on your account, that's why people go to hell. The reason that people commit the sins that they do is a heart condition. It's because, you see, sinners, lost people, they sin because that's what they do. Okay? And so, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Right, there it is. There's the proof of what I just said. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Notice it doesn't give a big long list of because he did this or because of his sins, but it says because he didn't believe. Because he didn't believe. That's why you go to hell, because you didn't believe. You didn't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You can't go to hell for your individual sins. The Lamb of God took them away, didn't he? He died for the sin of the world. He paid that. You go to hell because you didn't trust in his payment. You didn't have faith in what he did. And so it's not been applied to your account. It hasn't done you any good. Okay? So, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Boy, is that not so? Is that not so? You know, people would say, well, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm not so bad. But you're bad enough. I'm not really all that bad, but we're bad enough. If we're all born sinners, then we're bad enough. It doesn't matter what happens after that. If we're born sinners, we're bad enough, but people want to make excuses. Oh, I'm not so bad. Well, look, the gavel has already come down and declared us all guilty. We need it to come down one more time and declare us cleared. And declare us redeemed. And it's only going to come down a second time and remove your sentence if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Look, it says condemned already in verse 18. That means that's it. Sentence has been passed. That sentence can be reversed. And that gavel can come down one more time. You can be pardoned if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I realize that I'm talking to a room of saved people here tonight, but we love to hear it just as much as anybody else. We love to be reminded just as much as anybody else, and we got to keep hearing it so that we know how to tell other people, so that we're ready to tell other people. Okay? By the way, speaking of being ready, I was talking to someone about, not here in church, but I was talking to someone about Scripture today, and they were referring to something that wasn't in Scripture. And you remember from Sunday school, I pointed this out, and their response to me was, well, it's in there. Now, and it wasn't. What they were saying was not Scripture. It wasn't Scripture at all, but they were saying, it's in there. Well, it's not. You see, that's what I was talking about in Sunday school. Hey, we need to know. We go through the gospel, and you hear the gospel preached over and over and over again, and you're already saved. Well, it stirs our hearts. It excites us to know, to be reminded that this is what God has done for us. And on top of that, it helps us to remember. It helps us to know, to be fluent in the gospel so that we can relay it to other people. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Hey, there's all kinds of excuses out there. You hear excuses every single day about why people do what they do. They say, well, you know, it's this or it's that, or they really want to do. Jesus said the reason that people don't come to the light is because they love darkness, and the reason they love darkness is because their deeds are evil. Okay, well, yeah, but you know, he's really not all that bad. I think he's really trying to, why doesn't he get saved? Well, you know, I don't, hey, Jesus gave the answer right here. He said, light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If you stay in the dark, you can't have your deeds revealed. The closer you come to the light, the more dirt you see. The more our deeds are revealed. So people might have all kinds of excuses as to why they don't get saved or why they don't believe. And the truth is, you just don't want to come out of the dark. Now that's what Jesus said. They don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. Okay? Now look, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know, it's kind of like when we don't want to go to the doctor because we know what he's going to tell us. I ain't going down there. He's going to put me on all kinds of stuff. He's going to have me do this, going to have me do that. It'll sucking blood out of me with those needles. And I was at the doctor the other day and hadn't been for a couple years, and she was looking, and well, it's not been a full 2 years yet, but anyhow, she's looking, and she starts talking about blood work. And I said, and you all know me and blood work, and I said, you got to do that today? And she looks over, and she says, well, we don't have to. Why? I said, I'll faint on you. And she said, you will? And I said, probably. Or I said, there's a good chance, or I might, or something. And she said, well, you know, and the truth is, they can't do it if you don't let them do it. I wasn't going to let them do it. There was not even any reason. I went because I'm having trouble sleeping. There's no need to start sucking blood out of me yet. Let's wait and see. Let's do everything else first, and then I'll let you have some. I should have told her, hey, just look at my results from a couple years ago, because I haven't traded blood with anybody. I've got the same blood. Just look at my results from a couple years ago. But anyhow, I don't even know where I was going with that. I did have a point in that. Oh, yeah, going to the doctor. We don't go. Sometimes we don't go because we don't want to hear what they have to tell us. I don't want to go down there. They'll tell me this. They'll tell me that. You ever heard somebody say this? I'd rather not know. I'd just rather not know. I'd rather just don't tell me. I'd rather not know. Okay, why don't you go? Because you don't want to know. Why don't we do so? I don't want to be told that. Hey, Jesus says, there's a reason why you don't come out of the darkness and come to the light. You don't want to come into the light. And the reason you don't want to come into the light is because you don't want to see the dirt that's on you. You don't want to have your deeds revealed. Okay? Now, talking about lost people here, carnal Christians fall into this sometimes too. Christians, people who are saved, but that's about all. They don't really want to grow. They've been caught up in the world. They don't want to go any further. Bible preaching is not important to them. It makes them mad. It bothers them. They get offended easily. They're always getting rubbed the wrong way. Carnal Christianity, I want to find a church that makes me comfortable. I want to find a church that I like. I want to find a church that doesn't upset me. I want to find a church that I feel good whenever I leave there. Hey, magnify Jesus, feel good about Him, and you'll always feel good. Okay? Because He never changes. Carnal Christians will do this. Carnal Christians will, they will stay away they won't get too deep into the Bible. They'll stay away from Bible preaching. They don't want that. They'll reject that. They won't listen to that. Why? Well, because they've gone about as far as they want to go. All right. Now look at verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know why? Because he has nothing to hide. He come to the light and say, I want God to reveal anything that's wrong with me so I can fix it. I want, Lord, hey, search me, O God, the Bible says. Search me. Know me. That's what the Bible says. See if there be any wicked way within me. The Christian, the spiritual Christian comes to the Word and says, Lord, shine the light on me. Show me the dirt. Show me the deeds. Help me. Show me what I need to change. What is His Word? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The spiritual Christian wants to know. He doesn't have any problem coming to the light because he's walking in the Spirit. And if there's something there that shouldn't be there, he wants to know. He doesn't want to ignore it. He wants to see it so that he'll know and that he can do something about it. And so, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In closing, let me say this, and this encompasses what we talked about this morning and tonight. The main thing that we've looked at is this. Don't get sidetracked. Don't buy into excuses. Keep everything about Jesus. Keep everything about the gospel. Be willing to come to the Word and let it do the work that it's supposed to do in our lives, and realize that all of man is already condemned. The only way to have that changed is faith in Jesus Christ. Let's close there for a couple of reasons, because that is all that